Okay, shalom. We're in Masechet Shabbat, Enaya, Daf Yud Gimel, Piska Nun Chet. We're in the middle of the story of a woman whose husband died in the middle of his days, even though he was a scholar and he had learned a lot of Tanakh and Mishnah and Gemara. And this woman is going around with her husband's tefillin to all the Batei Knesset and all the Batei Midrash. Rav Kook explained that last time, trying to get an answer to her question. Why did her husband die at such a young age? Ve'amra lehem, she said in the Beit Midrash, Katuv ba'Torah ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha, that the Torah is your life. That the Torah is long days, gives you longevity, a long life. Balisha shana harbe vekara harbe veshimesh tamidei chachamim harbe v'named b'chatzi yamav. So why did my husband, who learned so much Torah, why did he die at such a young age?
Gave him long days, it just didn't give him very many of them.
HaTorah meshalemet et ha'adam b'chayim. Haynu b'teudat ha'chayim lefi tzorkam le'atzmo, gam orech yamim titen, haynu, shetesapek b'yad ha'adam laspik teudat ha'chayim ba'ad ha'atid ba'ad dor yavo. Rav Kook is differentiating here between the two terms, chayecha and orech yamecha, which literally means the Torah gives you life and it gives you long days. So Rav Kook explains, HaTorah mashlemet et ha'adam b'chayim. The Torah helps a person make the most out of his life. Haynu b'teudat ha'chayim lefi tzorkam le'atzmo, that they help and fulfill his life's mission for life itself. That's what life is about. Life is not the number of breaths that you breathe or the number of steps that you walk. Life is the more godly you are, and the more godly your days are, the more godly your life is. That's what life is about. God is called life. Ken zochenu l'chaim el chafetz b'chaim chadvenu b'sefer achaim l'mancha Elohim chaim. He's called the God of life. Haynu b'teudat achaim lefi tzorkam le'atzmo. As far as life itself is concerned, the Torah gives us life. Gam orech yamim titein, but the Torah also gives us long days. Haynu shetesapek b'yad ha'adam laspik teudat ha'chaim, that a person should achieve his mission in life, be'ad ha'atid ba'ad dor yavo, as far as future generations are concerned. Right? Rav Kook is explaining what is the idea of long days, not just in your day, but that it continues afterwards. And as we saw in the previous Piska, where Rav Kook explains the idea of why did it say that her husband died in half of his days, that a person's life is divided into two. The first half he's meant to develop himself, develop his talents, charge his batteries, and afterwards he's meant to invest in others, in the following generations, in his children, his students, etc. So here also, the Torah is meant for a person to give, not only for his own mission, but for those afterwards. Al ken tetzuyar hashlamat ha'chayim ha'yotzit chutz ligvul ha'teuda pratit b'shem orech yamim. And that's why the extra credit, in addition to your own life, that which you give to others, shemari, that's what's called arichut yamim, that it stretches your day. Right? A person can live 80 years, but if he has what to give, if he's invested in the next generation, in his children, in his students, so his days are stretched even longer.
It might be that the difference between 80 and 120 is that the first stage is you fill yourself with content. The second stage, you give it over to others. And the third, you have developed, you've raised children and talmidim that are of stature, and they make you even wiser.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Al ken tetzuyar hashlamat ha'chayim ha'yotzet chutz legvul ha'teuda pratit b'shem orech yamim shemarichim hem al midah mugbelet lepratiyuto shel adam. They lengthen a person's life as if it his life itself. Ubeba'ali, this woman is saying regarding my husband, nishlemu ha'chanot kulan. He did his homework. He learned a lot of Torah, and he would have been able to give arichut yamim, not just chayim, but also arichut yamim. Vayta Torah tzricha lifol alav teudata. And Rav Kook is saying that's a legitimate question. In general, one of the points that Rav Kook is touching on here, that just goes without saying, that's why he doesn't spell it right out, is that the more a person is as if it were needed in this world, the more he's giving, the more it's worth it for God to keep him around. As if a person wants to live a long life, make it worth it for yourself, for the world, for God, as if it were. We don't understand all of his cheshbonot, but if it's worth it for God to keep you around, he'll keep you around. Right? Man has free will. Man has free will. And that's one of the basic ground rules. And that's the basis of this woman's question, which is a good question. Yeah.
Do we ask questions like this about some of the better known rabbis who have died at a very young age? For example, the Ramchal or...
All the great Kabbalists. All the great Kabbalists. That's next piska. Nun tet, we're going to do it now.
Surely it seems to be, we often see it as afuch, is the people who die young often, they were really active, crammed a lot into a very short time. Mm-hmm. And for sure, there's no assumption they would have stopped doing it had they lived longer. They would have for sure carried on doing even more.
Correct. On the other hand,
question's good.
Rav Kook uses the term teudat ha'chayim, a person's mission. As we said before, there are many people who fill their mission very quickly, and then they can move on to bigger and better things in other worlds. So that's also a cheshbon.
And they leave Talmidim behind who continue their work.
Right, right. But really the answer to Avi's question is that's the topic for Piska Nun Tet. V'lo haya adam machzira davar. Nobody... In all the Batei Knesset, in all the shuls and the yeshivas, nobody answered this widow anything. What does the Torah point, what does the Talmud point that out? Explains Rav Kook. Hapliyot hamizdamnot al chukei ashgacha v'yeter halimudim hatovim shem oro shel olam hem mukhanim bashgacha nifla'a על פי סדרי החוכמה האלוהית, שעל ידם יתרומם האדם לבינה יותר גבוהה מהבנה השטחית. Sometimes when I started writing down in my yoman the topic of each shiur, so that for the website when it goes on they'll have the heading so I don't forget it. Here the topic is very easy. Today's topic is why are there questions? And Rav Kook discusses, he doesn't discuss the answers, he discusses why are questions an important part of life. Right? And we're not only talking about the Haggadah Shel Pesach, where we get our children to ask questions. So too, similarly, life is full of questions. And this woman wasn't getting answers, and what Rav Kook is going to say is that there's a benefit also in not getting answers sometimes.
It's interesting that it says lo haya adam machzira davar as opposed to lo hechzira adam davar.
Yeah.
Because machzira is a description of the people. There was no one around who was of the kind of person mm-hmm. who could or would answer, mm-hmm. rather than
that's interesting.
No one said anything. No one.
Uh-huh. Rav Kook doesn't go in that direction, but that's an interesting diuk. It's an interesting diuk. Okay, hapliyot again. Hapliyot, the questions, the difficulties. Hamizdamnot al chukei hashgacha. V'yeter alimudim, the difficulties that we have in understanding how God runs the world, and all of our studies, everybody knows the whole essence of learning, especially learning Gemara Be'iyun, when you learn Tanakh properly, everything is based on questions, right? First, before you get to the answers, you have the questions. And that's what all learning is about. And Rav Kook here gets right into the point. Right in the first sentence, he's already answering. If you want to bring light to the world, you want to enlighten life, you want to understand the world a little better, you need to question. Okay. My father, I think I mentioned once, he was the principal for many years, the founding principal of the first Jewish open school, the SAR Academy in Riverdale. His slogan was always, let children be their curious selves. Children are very, very curious. Children love asking questions. They're always asking questions. And sometimes they understand the answers. Sometimes they don't have patience to hear the answer. But that's what enlightening life is about.
Is that school similar to the Montessori system?
Yeah.
Because my son went from ages 3 to 6 to Montessori. It is the best school he ever attended, mm-hmm. including UC Berkeley.
Yeah.
By the way, Montessori, this is a footnote, but very quick. Montessori was contemporary with the Piasechner, the Chovat HaTalmidim, is very much like Montessori.
Oh, yeah? Anian? Okay, so Rav Kook is saying that what lights up life is questions. Hem muchanim bashgacha nifla'a, and God prepares questions for people. This is a very interesting. Where do children and adults, when do they ask their questions? When they come across a certain occurrence. Right, all of a sudden a bird will by flying by and the child will notice that his beak is red, you know, ask, you know, why is his beak red? And Rav Kook is pointing out that all of those occurrences are directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the questions that we ask in life are really straight from God. Because they're not, it's not that common that a person is just meditating about life and all of a sudden will come up with a brand new question. Our questions are based on occurrences, or things that are happening in front of us, around us. And Rav Kook is pointing out, those questions are directly from God. In other words, and this is the point of Rav Kook's Ma'amar HaPachad, as opposed to in the Haredi community, where in the time of Rav Kook it was accepted to not to ask questions, to discourage asking questions about faith, about God, about different things. And we learned about this in Ma'amar HaDor.
Oh,
so that's, unfortunately, apparently in Rav Kook's time, maybe it was a boomerang or a reaction to the Haskalah, to the Enlightenment, to the Reform, where people were not only asking questions, but they were also leaving observance as a result.
What you're saying about asking questions is usually the result of an event, an external event. Part of that is because of the lack of patience that most people have most of the time to sit, not being able to sit and ponder things, not having the mm-hmm. time, not having the inclination, and so mm-hmm. on. But if they did, they would have more questions, internal questions that would come up.
Uh-huh. Okay, but that's life.
It's also
based on the godly order. God has an order for the world. He has a design. All of the occurrences are straight from God. If, until you ask the question, and how much more so until you knew the answer, you were living a lower level of understanding of life, through the question, you now can shift to a higher gear of understanding. And you only gain from that. Okay? Muvan ha-davar, sh'abina ha-amuka, tavi le'olam et ha-tova amitit, borchot ha-chayim v'amusar ha-tov, ma she'en ha-havana ha-shitchit yichola la-vizot. Rav Kook says that it's very logical that the more you think, the more you examine, the more you're going to get a deeper understanding, a better understanding not only of how God runs the world, but about your life, your family, how to work better, right? The more you examine building a bridge, obviously we're not just talking about staring at the bridge, but
analyzing.
Sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. Think before you do. And that thinking will make your doing that much more productive. What Rav Kook is saying is that, and the answers, everybody knows that answers are important, but the process of first having questions of what's called in Chazal Yirida, Letzorech Aliyah, right? That moment of doubt, it could be a day, it could be a week or a month of doubt, as a preparation for in Aliyah, is one of the basic ground rules of the world. The Kabbalah talks about how Nahama Dikisufa, the bread of shame, is not tasty. And the Ramchal in Da'at Tevunot explains that even somebody, theoretically, if he were to be a beggar, he might make good money. Somebody told me once the beggars make very good money. But if you don't work, if you don't sweat for the money, you don't invest the time, the pain, then you don't get the pleasure. Right? According to the pain, the gain. And that's what the struggling with difficulties, philosophical difficulties, questions about life, about anything, and he says about any limudim, whether it be in learning in the Gemara or learning in university, that idea of breaking your head on a question, that stage is a very good stage. That's part of the effort which is necessary to get pleasure in the world. Things that come easy, we don't enjoy, right? If somebody tells you where to put the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, right? Imagine getting a jigsaw puzzle and on the back of each piece it tells you where to put it, right? You don't want it to be too easy, because the whole fun is a result of the challenge.
But then you obviously have to be ready for the possibility that the question is much better than the answer.
Sometimes, at first glance, the question is better than the answer. Sometimes, very often, if it's a really good question, it takes years to understand the answer. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about, because this woman has a very good question, and it's not a coincidence that she doesn't get her answer right away. That's part of the process, that it's for her betterment to have that time to deliberate, to think, to sweat it out. Okay. Omnam, כדי שתעורר הפליאה את כוח החושב ורגשות הלב באופן מלא, in order to awaken the question in all of its force, in order to activate our thought system and our emotion, to really get into the question, כדי שיהיו הכל מוכנים לקבל הרושם הטוב של ההבנה השלמה, in order to get to the total understanding of the problem that we're grappling with, כשתבוא אחר הפליאה, which will come only after that big question mark, כדוגמת מים קרים על נפש עייפה. Right, the pasuk in Mishle says that when is water the most satiating? When you're most thirsty. First, you need the thirst in order to feel the satiation. This is a concept which is found a lot in Judaism. The idea, what the Maharal calls he'ader. First, you have to appreciate what's missing. You have to have a very difficult galut. And Davke, at the epitome of the exile, when things are the darkest, at the darkest point of the night, the Holocaust, for example, that is right before the rising of the sun. And the same thing is very common in a lot of things in life. In Birchot HaShachar, all of the brachot are worded in the negative. We don't say, thank you God for giving me sight. We say, Pokeach Ivrim, that God gives sight to the blind. We could have been blind. He gives clothes to the naked. There are people who don't have. Matir Asurim, who frees those who are in bondage. We don't say, God, thank you for giving freedom. We always mention the negative side of the coin in order to focus us on the positive. The same thing, and this is something we spoke about, if you remember, regarding the Holocaust. Whenever students ask me about the Holocaust, which is obviously the biggest question, probably in Jewish history and in philosophical history, the way that I deal with it is that only after you have a big she'ela is it possible to have a big tshuva. Right? Tshuva, the idea of return and repentance, can only come after the period of a void, of vacuum, that we feel that something very serious is missing. We have a lot of questions. We're looking for answers, and even if we haven't found them yet, that doesn't mean that they're not coming.
That means that everyone has to go through a great shela in their life before they really achieve that.
I don't remember if we talked about that, that's
what Rav Kook says in the first sentence, that every person gets the questions that he needs. There's questions come straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person has a hitmodedut, a personal struggle, whether it be in family, whether it be economic, whether it be philosophic, all of these are different types of questions. I remember in yeshiva, in my second year of yeshiva, one of the biggest questions that I ever struggled with for a long time was the issue of free will. Where to draw the line between nature on the one hand, nurture on the other hand, and so where does free will come in? To what extent? And I remember discussing with Reb Moshe Bleicher, he was afterwards the Rosh Hashiva in Hebron, he was at the time my Ram, and he told me, time will do it. Time will do it for you. Even if at this stage you don't have the answer to your question, keep it. Keep your ears open, keep looking, and eventually the problems and the answers work themselves out.
We may have talked about this before, but who is the narrator of this story? I mean, not what kind of a person, I should say, not what's his name, or this is Talmud of Eliyahu. This is the Beit Midrash of Eliyahu HaNavi.
It says she went around to all the Batei Knesset and Batei Midrashot. Eliyahu was the narrator usually in Tanakh of Eliyahu. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the person who's answering the question is the person who was assumed into heaven alive, and there's a significance to that. I think there. I don't know what to
maybe.
Do with it. I don't know what to do with it yet, but there's something going on there.
We'll see in Piskah Samech when we get to the answer. Okay, today we're dealing with the questions. It's an interesting idea.
So I'm asking questions. We're asking questions. We're collecting the questions.
Okay, so again, the idea of that water, fresh water, is best when it's coming on a thirsty soul. And I think here Rav Kook is midayek, that nefesh is a soul. It doesn't say that it's coming on a thirsty mouth or thirsty taste buds. It's sometimes the soul is thirsty, and water, the Torah is likened to water, that's when it's most helpful. Shatzimaon, the thirst, hakadum, mechinat itkabluta tivit. That, the thirst, is something positive when it comes to knowledge, and that's what enables you to accept afterwards on that higher level. Alken, tzarich shetia haplia hulechet b'chol tokfa u'misaretet seret gadol b'nefashot rabot. In modern Hebrew, we also use this word. People have a srita. people have sritya. The deeper a scratch is, the more a person has to deal with that scratch.
It's also chayim beser, the expression chayim beseret.
No, that's not. Tifol b'chol tokef leza'azea et hamon kochot ha-nefesh. Right? That when the more a person is bimetach, it's lahavdil like a, was it Agatha Christie or any of these suspense novels, the longer the suspense is, the better the suspense, the happier you are when you finally figure it out.
Right.
And that's exactly what suspense is. And that Rav Kook, he invented the suspense, right? If you remember a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, we learned Rav Kook's commentary on Akedat Yitzchak, where he says that all of Avraham Avinu's life was a preparation for Akedat Yitzchak, starting from the fact that his parents had difficulty conceiving. Every one of those generations was giving birth at the age of 30, 32, 33. His father was 65 until he had children. Right? It was in the background. First thing we know about his wife, she doesn't have children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I am going to make you into a great nation. From who? He can't have children. So he takes his chassidim with him, HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, he brings them an aliyah with him. He takes Lot, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it's going to be from your family. So from then on, we don't hear about the chassidim anymore. Apparently Lot is the candidate to become Am Yisrael. And then Lot's kidnapped. Okay, he's taken back, but we had a little more suspense. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals it's going to be a biological son. And then Sarah's kidnapped. And she comes back. But again, it's always a little more suspense. And at one point he thinks it's domestic Eliezer, right? His servant Eliezer is going to be it. And then Hagar comes on the scene. And she automatically gets, right away gets pregnant. A miraculous pregnancy at a late age, and an angel chooses his name, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Hagar, go back, and everything's very clear that Hagar, that has in her stomach, Hagar has Am Yisrael in her stomach. And then she runs away, right, and come back, send him out of the house, and everything is, it's a lot of suspense. And the Torah does this very, very often, and really that's what life is about. Life is, there's a lot of suspense. And if you think about it, you know, the Gemara Megillah tells us that Am Yisrael lo chatu ela lefanim, av HaKadosh Baruch Hu rak ha'enish lefanim. Right? Am Yisrael didn't really sin. It's as if they sinned. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't really think of obliterating and aiding us, but it was ke'ilu. Right, there's a lot of ke'ilu in Jewish history, and it's not easy to be a good director or a good author, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu simultaneously is directing several billion lives and history and Jewish history and world history, and all of this is part of one long suspense.
Well, we all have to fit together.
Right? By the way, the suspense in the Akedah, there is one moment that's, I don't know, for years, I'm still not able to understand it, that on the way to the Akedah, that Abraham is not asking the obvious question, how can all the promises mm-hmm. be kept? Yeah. And here I'm told to take Yitzchak and sacrifice him.
That's part of the suspense and part of the emunah. That's exactly what we're talking about. Okay?
It's also very funny that he argues with God about Sodom, but not about.
Okay, let's get back to our topic. V'zeh hadin noheg b'chol ha-she'ilot hagdolot shelefi erech godlan ulefi ha-erech shel gdulat ha-pe'ula hatzricha lavo yedei ha-pitaron ha-amiti kesh-yitgaleh ba'olam. Again, this is exactly what Rav Kook is saying, that before you have a big tshuva, there has to be a big she'ila. And the bigger the tshuva is going to be, the bigger the answer and the repentance is going to be, the bigger the question is going to be. Ken tzarich sheyigdal koach ha-za'azua shel chisaron ha-yediya shel ha-mevucha ha-nora'a lifnei yitgalut mor ha-emet. Rav Kook is very descriptive. He says that a person should be shaken by by questions. And the more shaken he is, and the more confused that he is, it's all a preparation for that big answer in the end. V'chein ha'davar noheg v'sheilot ha'klaliyot hanogot l'chlal ha'min ha'enoshi u'musariyuto. The same thing regarding mankind in general. Deyotav, his thoughts, hegyonav, hanogot be'orchot chayav ha'gashmi'im v'aruchani'im, regarding your physical life, spiritual life, the individual, the nation, the world. V'chein ha'davar nahu gam ken b'mikrei ha'prati, in each individual life. She'gam ken eino yotze me'aseder ha'klali, mipnei shu notel bo et mekomo ha'ra'ui lo. Right? The chalal, the vacuum, the void, the question, has a very important role. Rav Kook writes a lot about this idea. I'll just mention two sentences in Ma'amarei Ra'iya, where Rav Kook writes a lot about the idea hechreach, necessity. I checked in the computer a scan where you can't even count the number of times Rav Kook talks about hechreach, necessity. For example, in Ma'amarei Ra'iya on page 86, Rav Kook writes as follows: Lo yuchlu litrapot, right? The big sicknesses and problems in the world cannot become healed. Ki ima yidei mashen izdarez lizdayen ulagbia yoter v'yoter et alimud v'adrisha bechokhmat chelek elchot deot shebat Torah. She'anu chayavim la'tchil bo milamata lemala, me'omek tachtit ad omek rom, kedei she'ya masechet beze nikvat bekviyut ubehergel, mechuberet im alimud ha'morgal begmara ubeposkim becharifut bebkiyut, ad she'niyeh ruyim lahorot hora'ot burot gam ba'alachot gedolot ele. Where does this come from? Rav Kook says, from the hechreach. From the fact that the generation is rebelling against religion, it's forcing us to learn philosophy, to answer the questions that the youth are asking, that the nevuchim hador, the perplexed, Rav Kook actually wrote a new sefer called The New Guide for the Perplexed, The Modern Guide for the Perplexed. It was just published on the internet a couple years ago. For many years, Rav Tzvi Yehuda thought it wasn't ready. People weren't ready for these ideas.
And,
exactly. It's a good example. In English, they say necessity is the mother of invention. And Rav Kook says in Jewish history, who's bringing the Jews back to Israel? So on the one hand, it's an ideal, and there are Jews that are coming on Aliyah because of the ideal, and because it's time to come home, and because the God wants us home. On the other hand, most of the Jews that are here were really brought here out of necessity, right? Those who didn't come out of the ideal ran away from Kishinev, ran away from Europe, ran away from Ethiopia, the fall of the Soviet Union, problems here, problems there, anti-Semitism in France, everyone with their own necessity, problems with the economy in America. And Rav Kook writes a lot about that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world through hechreach, through necessity. There is first a void, and then the only way to deal with the void is to rise to a higher level. Okay, just to finish off. V'chein ha'davar noheg b'sheilot ha'klaliyot. So too, regarding how God runs the nation and the world. Hanogot l'chlal ha'min ha'enoshi u'musariyuto. Regarding all of mankind. Deyotav v'hegyonav, his morals, his opinions, hanogot b'orchot chayav gashmiim v'aruchaniim, regarding the physical and spiritual life. If you remember, we discussed many times, all the way back in Orot HaTshuva, since then tens of times, Rav Kook draws the world that there's constant aliyah, but there it's a zigzag, where the general direction is always up, but sometimes along the way there are dips which force us to rise to a higher level. The same thing with everything.
Ofer Ha'ayalim.
Sorry?
Ofer Ha'ayalim. Medaling.
Yeah.
These are good.
V'chein ha'davar nahu gam ken b'mikrei ha'prati. The same thing regarding a person's life. She'gam ken eino yotze me'aseder ha'klali mipnei shu notel bo et mokomo ha'ra'ui lo. Like this woman. like her husband, like all of us who have difficulties in life. Rav Kook says those difficulties are growing experiences. And you should make the most out of those growing experiences. When a person has any, it could be monetary, health problems, all kinds of difficulties are meant to be a yirida litzorech aliyah.
Yeah, but this,
and
guy's
the Zohar,
this guy's growth experience killed him.
No.
We're talking about his
wife. We're talking about his wife now, but also we don't see the world to come. Okay? But the ways of, the Zohar explains that the way of the world is that before you jump, you have to crouch. You bend your knees in order to jump. You push down the spring in order for it to jump high. That's the way that God created the physical world. And the physical world, according to Kabbalah, is a hint to understand the metaphysical or the spiritual world. And that's why every time that we have a little dip in life, the idea is to make the most out of it, to open your eyes and to use it as a growing experience. Al ken she'ela zo she'ita tzricha lifol pu'ula chazaka v'nimshechet b'tshuvata. This woman, what is Rav Kook referring to? The fact that she wasn't getting answers to her question. Rav Kook said, that is also michushav, calculated. Some people, it's good for them to get quick answers. Other people, it's good for them to sweat it out. Sometimes you might have this, sometimes you might have that, but it's all calculated. The idea of suspense, of stretching it out, where this woman was going from place to place and asking questions. And anybody who's learned in yeshiva knows, I can't even count how many times it's happened to me. I mean, everyone, happens to everyone, that you're looking for an answer. It could be in halacha, it could be in gemara, it could be in philosophy. And you're looking and looking and looking, and it could be a month later, out of nowhere, in a totally different sugya, all of a sudden comes the answer, right? The waiting period is also calculated. Well, so Rav Kook is saying here, there are really 3 points. Number one, part of the shleimut, part of the complete picture, you have to have that question. Number two, the omik, the depth, and the amount of mivucha, of confusion, and the amount that you're mizuaza, that you're shaken by the question, is also significant. That's also part of the growing experience. And also the length of how long you have to wait, how long the waiting period is, that you're in limbo, that you're in suspense, that also is for your betterment. All this is calculated.
And it's no surprise that she has the stuff to do it, because, look, this is a woman who's getting a Gilui Eliyahu. Because they don't grow on trees.
That's also true.
Potential benefit.
Ki ha'aniya ha'soara, the stormy, poor person, here is talking, Rav Kook is referring to the poor woman, the pasuk. What is the continuation? Aniyasoara lo nechama. She's not finding comfort. Haita batanotea mar eshet et alevavot. She was shaking hearts, not only her own heart. She was shaking a lot of people's hearts and a lot of yeshivot and a lot of batei knesset. Umishi yashkit ruchan. There's another aspect that Rav Kook writes about a lot and that we touched on before, that every individual's life overlaps, and it's like the cogs in a wheel that activate the cogs of your life and his life and her life and anybody who hears the question and anybody who's going to hear the answer, and all of us are affected by everything.
I think I have an answer to my question that you said the Rav Kook doesn't go that way. There's no one who is machzir. In other words, she is going around trying to solve her own problem, but she's creating the questions in the minds of all those other people who were not machzir, who didn't have the tchuna that they needed. So she went around, and all these people benefited from it.
Oh, maybe. Interesting. Okay, ומי שישקיט רוחה ורוח כל משתומם על כלל מציאות המאורה לא נזדמן לה. Nobody was able to solve it. Ko haya haroshem olech halech vechazek mipnei shelo haya adam machzira davar. The suspense was building and building because nobody was answering it. And Rav Kook is saying, God wanted that to happen. That's part of the plan, the suspense, timing. Everybody knows that timing is a very, very important life. In terms of a joke, in terms of telling a story, in terms of parnasa, being in the right time, in the right place. And there are so many things in terms of zivug, finding the right mate in the right time. There's so many things in life which are based on timing. Rav Kook adds, also the length of your question is also an important part of timing.
Question. We see in reality that there are people with questions caused by like a traumatic event or whatever, questions in their faith. And there are those people who, maybe like this one, you know, go around and keep the question.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep the question and they keep asking, they're still looking for an answer, and they want there to be an answer, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she gets one that she's happy with or not. But there are others.
We'll see next week.
Right. Yeah, there are others who, after a short while, don't get an answer, and they like throw in their kippah and say, that's it, I've had enough, this can't be right. This, as in, it breaks, the question breaks them.
There are also people who make a life out of the question.
So my question is, it seems strange that, you know, we're saying that this is part of Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan. He creates the events in people's life in order to raise the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But to what extent is it within the hands of the person to be able to react to that in the right way?
That's exactly what free will is about. Just like all of the occurrences of life, where Rav Kook or Rav Soloveitchik explains as Yi'ud and Goral. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a lot of fates, and your job is to destine the fate, what to do with it. To keep, for example, in this example, some people really should, that's what everyone should do, and they have the fortitude to keep going and searching and searching. You didn't find by this rabbi, go to another rabbi. You didn't find in this yeshiva, go to another yeshiva. You didn't find in this hashkafa, go. But to keep looking until you find the answer. And that's to destine the fate.
I suppose what my question is almost like, you said earlier in the shiur that every person gets the questions that they need. What about, is it not possible that someone gets a question that was more than they could handle?
No. That's the Ramban at the end of Akedat Yitzchak that we were talking about. That at the beginning of Akedat, it's the end of Parshat Vayera. Elokim nisa et Avraham, that every person only gets tested on tests that he can pass.
What about the people who crack up?
So what we're saying is that people...
Just because you can pass it doesn't mean you can't fail it as well.
Right, exactly. Right.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what a test is. It doesn't mean that all of life boils down to one test. There are a lot of tests. Sometimes you can pass, and sometimes you can fail. And that's, again, destiny and fate. It's always interacting. And what we have to do, everyone has to do, is to make the most out of every opportunity and use it for the best. You could have two twins who have the same DNA and the same IQ, but one's
named Yaakov and one's named Esau.
And they weren't identical twins. And, you know, they just take it in different ways. That's I would say more it's like Moshe and Bilam. Chazal say Bilam had the exact same tools that Moshe did, but he had free will and he took it in a totally different direction.
It's the